This is Robin Collier of Cultural Energy, and today we're holding a roundtable discussion on the impacts of nuclear weapons in New Mexico, where Los Alamos and Sandia Labs are located. We'll start with Margarita Denovan, who will introduce the rest of our guests.
I would like to thank Susie Kane, Francine Lindbergh, and Richard Torres for being here today. Susie Kane does not call herself an authority, nor an expert on nuclear weapons. She is, however, a concerned citizen who has acted on her concerns. She and Francine both have dedicated much time and effort to informing themselves about nuclear weapons, and I am so grateful that they are willing to share the information they have gathered with us and give us the benefit of all their efforts. Susie is a writer as well, who writes on many issues that concern Americans about the quality of life on this planet called Earth. Francine Lindbergh is a concerned as well as an activist citizen who has expended much time and energy in an effort to make us aware of the implications of nuclear weapons for our lives. Nuclear weapons are only one of the issues facing our country that she has dedicated herself to addressing. Richard Torres has firsthand and personal knowledge of the effects of nuclear weapons. When as a sailor, he was present at the testing of the largest nuclear weapons, and his story is one which every American should know.
Okay. Well, let's start with Francine. You can talk a little bit about what's happening at Los Alamos with the chemical metallurgical research replacement facility, which is the facility which is going to be used for plutonium processing, making pits for nuclear bombs.
Okay. The building that you described is known as the CMRR. It's actually a complex of buildings, and the first one has been completed, the first phase of it, as I understand. But since, I think it's 2006, money's been pouring in for the second phase, and there have been a lot of changes in the construction needs. They realized they needed to shore it up for earthquake standards and things like that. So at this point, I don't remember what the exact estimate was.
The original estimate was $350 million. And it now has escalated to $3.5 billion, and many people think that by the end of it, it would be as much as $7 billion.
Yeah, actually, I heard 12 recently. But
and
there's no end date in sight. They don't have...
That's the thing. It was originally scheduled for completion fairly soon, and now it's extended way into, I think, 2020 or something like that.
Yeah. It's been promoted as for stockpile management and disarmament. And I think it's really important for people to understand that that's a complete misnomer. The LANL, if you go on the Los Alamos National Labs website, they talk about it being there to maintain and certify the U.S. nuclear stockpile. And in fact, it's designed for plutonium processing, and it's designed to be a replacement for the old CMR, which was where they made nuclear pits, and those are the triggers for nuclear weapons. They are essentially the weapon. So that's the point of it, is to have a place with state-of-the-art equipment and conditions for the scientists to work on and develop new nuclear weapons. No matter what they call it, that's what it's for.
The pits, it sounds so harmless. No, you have a
this
peach,
is Susie Kane's
a peach pit, but these pits actually are about the size of a softball or a grapefruit, and they have the explosive equivalent of the bomb dropped on Hiroshima.
Just the pit itself.
That's the pit itself. That's the trigger. So when that explodes, that makes the rest of the bomb explode, and that's probably the kind of bomb that you experienced. I'm speaking to Richard Torres, and I really want to hear about your experience. But I had the good fortune to interview Peter Malgram in Chimayo. he took it upon himself to record the experiences of people who worked at LANL. And these were people who had, these were the workers. And in 2000, this is when Bill Richardson was Secretary of the Department of Energy. That year, President Clinton signed into law the Energy Employee Occupational Illness Compensation Program Act of 2000, and it provided eligible workers and their families a lump sum payment of $150,000 in medical benefits. It was a meeting organized at the Community College in Española in response to this act, this compensation act, and 600 to 800 people showed up, people dragging their oxygen bottles, and they were given 4 minutes each to tell their stories. So it's not a clean place.
Well, yeah, in the 40s and 50s, the amount of plutonium that was released and the safeguards were really minimal.
Yeah.
And that's what Peter documented in his oral histories. People would be exposed to radiation and they'd be told to take a shower, and that was kind of the treatment.
Exactly. But still, I mean, you've got groups like Amigos Bravos who have, with 9 other organizations, have sued the lab for environmental pollution. And that works its way into water and air and that sort of thing.
So, you know, that is interesting because that's one of the things that LANL is claiming, is that this new facility is needed to make things safer. It's to better protect the health and safety of our workers, the public, and the environment. So, you know, we have to be aware that that's going to be an argument that they use.
Yes.
And is nuclear energy, power, plutonium, weapons, what have you, really safe? Nobody can say that they can actually make it safe. So that's another misstatement, in my view.
Yeah.
It's not safe.
Well, I'd love to hear Richard Torres.
You know, it'd be interesting to hear what it was like to see one of the first hydrogen bombs explode, correct?
Well, best I could tell you, it was very scary. And, you know, we were trained supposedly in Coronado, California. I was sent down there, the amphibious base. I was an amphibious sailor. And the training was really nothing. It was more to clear us with this queen clearance, Q clearance. For
security.
Security reasons. And, you know, they told us more or less what to expect, but we really didn't, not to that degree. And
so what year was this?
The first one that shot Bravo, the largest one, was March 1st, 1954.
Wow.
And so we went out there. And
how old were you at the time?
Let's see. I'd already been in the Philippines 2 years. I was about 23 or 24. We were just kids and, you know, just doing what we were told. And I was on these landing boats that the three-man crew, we'd go out and either set the stuff up in the atoll or recover it after a blast. So we did pick up an awful lot of radiation. And so, you know, and the first one that shot Bravo, and I have some documents at home or writings from other people, that it was so bright you can't look at it, of course.
Right.
And you have to turn away. We had no goggles. We had nothing, really.
So they didn't really take any safeguards to protect
you? No, none at all. None at all. And so that first one, you know, everybody had to go topside. We sat on the deck with our eyes closed, hands over our eyes, facing away. And they did the countdown, and I have some, looking at some papers today, and it was so bright. And after the blast, and they tell you, you can look at it, and what did you see? I saw red and white. What we were looking at was the bones.
After the blast, yeah.
After the blast, we're looking at the bones in our fingers.
Mm-hmm.
We were x-raying our fingers.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't know that. So, and, you know, then we'd laid out. That shot Bravo, we came back in. We laid out for 24 hours, I believe, and came back into the atoll. And then we got caught in a heavy fallout, the ash. It's just like you're shoveling your fireplace. We were covered with it. And we had to wash the ship down for 3 days, kept washing it. But I think we were washing it with contaminated water. It was ocean water.
Of course.
Everything was contaminated, so.
And it continued to fall for 3 days?
No. I don't know how long it fell. No, we laid out 24 hours and we came back in, and that's when it started falling, and we had to get out of there quick. But by then, I bet you we had 7 or 8 inches of ash on the deck.
Oh, wow.
They just, yeah.
Didn't they give you some protective shoes?
That's another story, because one time we picked up so much radiation recovering the stuff, we come back to the ship on the boat, the small boats, and we'd tie up to the stern and climb up the stern. And there was a doctor or scientist there. We had a Geiger counter, too, but we were so radioactive, they stripped us naked right there and put our clothes in a stainless steel drum. So, and to this day, I tell everybody, I'm still, they owe me a pair of shoes. I want my shoes. But, you know, it's a joke now, but, yeah, they did that to us twice. And if I say something here at the VA or something, they don't know anything. Nobody knows anything about it. They don't know anything about me.
Right, right.
So, and you do have a certificate, though.
Well, the certificate I got from the Atomic Energy Commission, that's the one, the copy I handed you. Mm-hmm. And I keep trying to get involved in every so often to, you know, I'm not trying to get money. Well, they did finally get a surgery on me down here at the VA. San Francisco, I'm from San Francisco originally, and they just about refused me at the VA. They promised to look after us and to check us after we got out. In fact, the last thing they told us when they handed us our discharge, there's a possible chance your men may be sterile, and you'll be checked on. They never did.
They never even did that. Yeah.
I have three daughters. But,
so that's good.
So, yeah.
Well, Susie, explain. I mean, this whole thing is to build more nuclear weapons. And at the same time, Obama is talking about reducing nuclear weapons. I mean, we just supposedly have agreed with Russians to reduce another third of our nuclear weapons. What's going on? How come we need new plutonium pits if we're reducing our nuclear weapons?
Well, the spokesman at LANL told me when I asked him that question that he said, what if Ford Motor Company suddenly stopped making cars? He said, and they didn't make them for 20 years because it's been 20 years since Rocky Flats was closed where they did make the plutonium pits.
Right.
And he said, then if they had to make a car, nobody know, you know, how to do it. And it's really
silly.
So basically it's a keeping your hand in argument.
But and, I mean, don't studies show that these pits will last for hundreds of years? I mean,
yes, 100 years. And,
at
and
least.
Yes.
But that's
at
just
least.
A conservative
that's
estimate.
Right. That's right. So, you know, my son just told me the other day that he heard on NPR, and I missed this, that LANL is the place where the Atomic Energy, the commission from the UN brings all the weapons inspectors here to learn what to look for. And I thought that was interesting. I mean, that actually is a good thing.
Right.
But this is, for me, I find it all very, very distracting. It's like the, you know, the, it's in a way a flim-flam. It gets you to look at one thing and not look at the other. And while we're concentrating on the details, what we've forgotten, all we need to know is what happened at Hiroshima. This is what I feel. And I have to bring myself back to that because that's really all you need to know, and you need to abolish nuclear weapons.
It's interesting. There's a book that's written about how Chernobyl happened with the nuclear power plant, and initially the Russians kind of tried to gloss over it, but the actual technical effects of what happened, which was as close to a total meltdown of a nuclear facility, really affected Gorbachev and changed his whole attitude. And in large part, this book's thesis is that this brought about the rapprochement with Reagan because Gorbachev really realized just how dangerous, from a nuclear power plant.
Yes.
I mean, right now, the Chernobyl is still actively hot. They had to cover it up with thousands of tons of sand to just cover it up, and they have never
contained
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So people don't realize that nuclear weapons, you know, and a nuclear explosion is unbelievably powerful.
Yes. I mean, that it's annihilating.
Yeah.
And I'm of the generation that grew up on the Cuban Missile Crisis. I was yet very young when, you know, maybe a late teenager, early 20s, when that happened. And then there are books like On the Beach. And so we were kind of nervous wrecks.
Right, I remember
and,
that.
And that is, in some ways, our background noise is right. that kind of consciousness about the possibility of that. That is exhausting to think right. of that, and I'm tired of thinking of that.
Well, and though the thing is that young people don't have that experience. They don't. In other words, when they talk about nuclear weapons or nuclear power plants, it's more like. It's just a technical thing. You know, it's like, oh, that's just another technical yes. tool.
Well, it's denial.
It's denial.
It's that's
so, Francine, talk a little bit about, I mean, this is the scope of the money that's being spent just on the CMMR. And, of course, all of Los Alamos, their total budget is very large. 65% of their operations at Los Alamos are nuclear weapons, is nuclear weapons research. Mm-hmm. So what could that money be used for if we didn't make these new pits?
Well, I'd love to speak to that, and I will in a minute, but I wanted to just comment on a couple things that Susie was saying, that and you too, Robin, about the pits lasting as long as they do. What I know is from the Jason study, I think that was in 2007, which was yes. at, you know, being talked about when the last attempt was made to get the CMRR through, but back then it was called the RRW, Reliable yeah, Replacement Warheads, mm-hmm. and that was under George W. Bush, which, you know, the Congress said that's a waste of money, we're not going to do that, thank goodness, and a bunch of people stood up in, you know, public hearings around the state and probably around the country, I'm not sure, and
said,
yeah. you know, no to it. So they kind of they changed the name around. It's the game that Susie was talking yeah. about. And we have, I forgot what the exact statistics were, but we have quite a few already of those pits
mm-hmm.
stockpiled that are good for the next 80 years.
We have 14,000 of them at okay. Amarillo.
And that's where they store them.
14,000
right?
of them.
And then they can make currently at the CMR that exists now, even though we know that the facilities are older and they want to upgrade them, which in some ways makes sense because of the, you know, the danger of having an old facility. But yet we have all those pits. They want to be able to increase from 20, is it a year? The last thing I read, they are capable now, today, of making 10 to 20 a year in the current facility. But what they want to do is up it to 80. Now, if this is disarmament, or if this is stockpile maintenance, mm-hmm. then when we have 80 years left and we're trying to get rid of nuclear weapons according to Obama, and people all over the globe want to do that, why do we need to make 80 new nuclear bombs a year?
Well,
that makes no sense
to me.
I think
one of the things that they would say is that they're needing to attract and keep nuclear scientists.
Yes, and I want to speak to that too.
Yes.
There's a guy, I can't remember his name, and I'm not as sure exactly where he came from, but I think he was an assistant president or CEO of maybe Livermore. Anyway, he's been retired for years, and he came out and said that the money for the CMMR can only be described as justified as a reason for the existence of the lab heads. And he apologized for saying that because these are his peers. Mm. But he said that's the only reason yeah. he can see mm-hmm. for this money being spent mm-hmm. is to just justify their existence. So the argument of, and I know Ben Ray Lujan has said that he, this is why he supports it, because it's going to keep the knowledge there.
Yes.
Well, mm-hmm. and that they do come in and train for, they train scientists all over to be inspectors for the IAEA, mm-hmm. and that's good. I mean, that would be a good use of their time. Why can't they do those things instead of making the pit?
A very small percentage of their work is on non-proliferation at Los Alamos.
Yeah.
Just like a very, very small percentage
but they
works
make
on
it a larger percentage.
Alternative energy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the things they could do.
Well, also,
is really,
the other
truly
thing
work
is,
on
yeah,
disarmament
there are,
issues.
There are 11,000 employees, and what would happen if you closed down the lab? What are these people going to do? I mean, it used to be in the old days that they were thrilled to have the lab here because in the winter they'd have to leave their families, most of the workers, and go, you know, tend sheep someplace, or you know, find odd jobs, or and they wouldn't see their families for half the year because there was no work. Mm-hmm. So they were happy to have the lab, and I think they probably are still happy to have the lab because of the work.
But they can still have those people employed if they, for instance, I can remember when Tom Udall spoke about changing Los Alamos from nuclear production to
changing the mission
to, yeah, right, to clean energy. And all those people would still be employed. The only ones who would not be employed would be the scientists. But
there would be different scientists.
There would be different scientists.
Yes.
So I think this is welfare. We talk about welfare.
When did Corbin Udall talking about transitioning the mission statement of?
He used to say that. I've heard him say that.
Yes, he
also,
did. Changing this
mission.
Is when he was running. This is when he was running for senator.
In 2008.
Sorry?
In 2008. That recently?
But he doesn't say that so much anymore.
No, I haven't heard that at all. That's
he
why I was wondering when it was.
No, and I remember that. And I thought, oh, this is wonderful. Because one of the things that they use to scare people is that all these people will lose their jobs.
Yeah.
Well, no, they won't. They still need those people. They're the maintenance. Mm-hmm. They're the gardeners.
Security.
They're the security.
How about cleanup?
Cleanup.
It took them a long time to clean that place up.
Tell me about it.
It's
well, Richard.
Yes.
Having seen the actual effect of a bomb going off, speak more about just the danger of nuclear weapons.
Well, there's so much. I mean, well, we don't really know. I mean, like in Bikini, from what I understand, those islands are good for nothing. Whatever the foliage is back now, the coconuts are grown, but they can't. They're radioactive. The people, this government sends a barge, this way I understand, of food to them every 4 months because they wanted to go back to their islands. And I saw a documentary on some guy was picking coconuts, and I thought, please don't drink that stuff. And sure enough, there was a scientist down there, and he was pouring it into a jar. So, and the effects are, like, for myself, I got into the VA, and they started checking me, and they did several surgeries on me, on my intestines, and they took tumors out of me. And one of them was, you know, and I asked, well, it was big, and I asked the surgeon, was this from the radioactive? He says, I don't know. In other words, nobody knows anything. They can't
tell you. It's very hard to correlate that.
Yes, they can't tell you. So,
see, there's never been a public health study, for example, of the effects of Lanol's pollution. There was the Center for Disease Control's did a 10-year study examining the records of Los Alamos and what they had released, and they found that, particularly going back to 1945 and in that period, Lanol released more radionuclides than all the other nuclear facilities combined. And again, they've never gone into the population of Española or Chimayo or Dixon to find out what happened to those workers. And anecdotally, we know about a lot of cancers, and yet they've never investigated it.
There's studies on all kinds of other health issues. Why is it that was never, I mean, it hasn't been addressed? That's just another...
And they don't.
Yeah.
You know, even with myself, they're looking after me now, you know, and but it's not, if I mention nuclear, there's no record of me.
Right.
Like I say, those certificates that I gave you the copy of, they asked me for the originals, and I wouldn't give them up.
No, nope.
That's the only proof I have that I was there.
Yeah,
and so and then down in Albuquerque, there was a sign there when I was in the hospital that if I've been exposed or if you've been exposed to Agent Orange or ionizing radiation, we'd like to hear from you. So I applied, and some doctor they sent me down there. It was a young lady. Look, she was 15, and my special examination for that was she listened to my heart, my hands, my heart and my lungs, and then push my hands.
That's it.
And that was it. She goes, no, nothing happened to you. And I asked her, well, why was I stripped naked twice before I can go board ship? And how radioactive were we? And because we had to keep showering and washing the ship down.
No.
Nothing.
Well, Susie, we're getting close to the end here. What do you think the public be doing and know about this issue?
Well, bottom line for me, and I'm speaking for myself, and I don't represent an organization, is I would like to see nuclear weapons abolished.
Really abolished.
Really abolished. And I know you can't put the genie back in the bottle, but there are things we can do. I mean, we actually are, the U.S. military tried to abolish knowledge of these weapons in Iraq by burning library books, bombing facilities. But the knowledge, you know, you'd have to bomb every brain.
Right.
So it's a matter of will, and it's a matter of intention. What do we intend? What is Lanel intending by continuing to build pits? So I think intention is a very important word to circle.
And it is really, it's where your priorities are. What are you going to spend your money on? Are you going to spend your money on the industrial military complex, or are you going to spend it on education, on the environment, on alternative energy?
Yeah.
Francine, any other
thoughts? Yeah, well, I'm actually been working on this with another group too, and then we have our Taos group here, but wondering what about the regional impact of policies that privilege plutonium over people. That's just a huge question for me. The Taos group, we've been working on, you know, what are the needs of our community. We've highlighted several, but vocational, tech ed, and
the arts,
energy resources that are renewable, sustainable, things like that. If we had even a fraction of the money that goes into nuclear weapons and what they're pouring into Los Alamos under Obama right now, today, we could do so many things to help our kids have better lives. Poverty is very high in our area. There are just so many things we could do alternatively, and it's really important for people to be aware of how much money we're talking about. We're talking about billions of dollars for what?
Right. Margarita, last thought, and then I think we'll have to close.
Well, the reason for the production of nuclear weapons is security. And I'm thinking 9/11 happened at a time when the whole world knew that the United States had the largest stockpile of nuclear weapons, the largest standing army. So, and we were still, the attack occurred. So to say that we need these weapons and we need them up to date for security reasons is so much foolishness. We need to concentrate on where is that money going? It's not going to the people. It's our tax money. It's not going to our needs. It's going to somebody like Bechtel.
Yeah.
And I think people need to understand it's not a deterrent.
No.
It's a waste of money.
Okay. Well, I think that's a good note to end it on. So thank you all for putting your thoughts in. And this is going to be an ongoing discussion. Thanks a lot. This is Robin Collier of Cultural Energy.
Thank you, all of you.
That was a roundtable discussion on nuclear weapons in New Mexico with Margarita Denovan, Francine Lindberg, Susie Kane, Robin Collier, and Richard Torres. You can hear this segment online, as well as many others, at culturalenergy.org.